Let's pray together. God, we are before you now with eyes to see and ears to hear because of your promises, because of what we have seen and heard, and because we still want to see and hear so much more. We ask that you ease our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and wash over us with your Spirit in ways that go beyond what we can ask or imagine. We are before you at this moment, wanting to hear your word, and we are open to listen. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for this moment, and we thank you in advance for what is to come. In the name of Jesus. The Mrs. Baird's Bread Factory used to be right on the highway in Fort Worth, Texas. When I was a little boy, for some reason, we used to drive into Fort Worth. And I don't know where we were coming from. I can't remember. All I remember is how much joy it filled me with to drive by the Mrs. Baird's Bread Factory right there on the highway in the middle of Fort Worth, Texas. I remember, and I don't know why I remember, and again, I don't know where we were coming from, but being asleep in the back seat of the car and waking up to the smell of bread. Oh, just nothing better than the smell of bread. And I can almost still smell it. There in the back seat of a Datsun B210 little white car that, I kid you not, had a hole in the floorboard that I could see the road going by. Laying in the back seat of that car, I can still smell the Mrs. Baird's factory coming to life and bringing me back to life. To this day, there's nothing I would rather eat than bread. And I wonder if it's because I was born 1 mile from that factory. I kid you not. I was born at Harris Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas, 1 mile from that factory. And I can't help but wonder if as I came into this world, I came into this world with the smell of bread. And for you gluten-free folks, isn't it great when you find a gluten-free product that actually tastes and feels like bread? It's like you want to call all your friends and relatives and say, guess what I just found? You've got to try this. And my daughter, it's like, oh, by the way, always keep this in the fridge just in case I come over. Because when you find that thing that is like bread, there's just nothing better. And I don't think that it's coincidence that the New Testament, when it talks about the people of God gathering together in the name of Jesus, the number one thing that the people of God did when they got together was to break bread. We need to spend this summer praying and hoping and reorienting. But we probably also need to spend this summer eating together, breaking bread, and most of all, seeing the miracles of Jesus right before our very eyes. And just in case you have yet to see a miracle this morning, let me show you one. This is Mark 8. In those days, when there was, again, a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can we feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They had also a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now, there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Does it feel like we've heard this story before? Didn't this just happen not that long ago in the Gospel of Mark? I mean, we're in Mark 8, and all you have to do is flip back a page or two, and you see, this just happened. I guess the part that gets me is that the closest followers of Jesus were at the feeding of the 5,000. And yet they are still asking, "Where are we going to get the bread?" You know, not to be too tough on us, but sometimes we need a dose of truth. If you're worried about God still being able to be God in your life, take a look back on your life and take a look back on our life together. Why are we still asking, "Where are we going to get the bread?" Do you still not understand? This is Jesus that we call Lord after all. The feedings of the 5,000 and the 4,000. These are not stories about miracles, but they're stories about people who do not have the eyes to see the miracles. The miracles right there before their eyes. I read the feeding of the 4,000 story, and most of the time, I mean, you get a group of church people together who've heard all these stories together, you know, for years and years. If you get up and say, "I'm going to read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Everybody goes. Nobody says, "Oh, I like the 4,000 one better." Because it's not the one that we think about. But oh, today, at least today, this one's my favorite one. It's my favorite story in all of Scripture. And I think it's because we've been reading the Gospel of Mark for a while this year, and right here, almost smack dab in the middle of the story, the group of people who were closest to Jesus, the people who spent all their time with Jesus, who at least by the way that Mark tells us the stories, only a few days earlier were at the feeding of the 5,000, are still being followed around by this crowd. And whenever Jesus says, "We need to feed these people because they're hungry," what do they ask? "Where are we going to get enough bread?" Was there at least one of the 12 who said, "Guys, don't you remember last week what Jesus did?" It would have been John, by the way, who said that. "Don't you remember?" Why don't they remember? And this is where the other Gospels help us understand the bigger picture and why we need to consider this today. Mainly what Jesus says in John 6 about the bread of life. Because you see, one loaf of bread is going to feed you for a meal. You get a loaf of bread, feed you for a meal. The bread of life, however, can sustain you for a lifetime. And in this life, we need both. We need real bread, and we need Jesus' bread. And if we're living our life in Christ, what's the difference? But before we go any further, let's get something else on the table. We need to acknowledge that we have been in a season of disorientation. Some in our homes, some in our church, some in the city, and even our nation. But also knowing and believing that God always follows, and I really want this to sink in this morning, in Scripture and in the history of God's people, God always follows seasons of disorientation with reorientation. In Scripture, there is no exception to that. Not a single exception. That when the people of God are disoriented, God meets them where they are. Sometimes it's with moments. Sometimes it's with seasons. Sometimes it's with an individual. But there's always, after seasons of disorientation, a time of reorientation. We've gone through a very disorienting last 4 years. Not 4 months, not 14 months, but 4 years. But in Scripture, disorientation is always followed by reorientation, and that at the hand of God. But sometimes even seasons of reorientation ask us to consider, to be open to possibilities, to have faith that seeks understanding. And all we really need to do in order to understand is never forget what the bread smelled like. What it was like to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive bread. And so let us open our eyes and our ears while we consider where we are right at this moment and hear the rest of the story. So now hear the word of the Lord, again from Mark 8, this is 11 through 21, after Jesus got in the boat and left the scene of the feeding of the 4,000. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them. And getting into the boat again, he went across to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread. By the way, we don't think that the Bible often has humor in it. That is a hilarious statement. I mean, right after he argued with the disciple, or the argument with the Pharisees, Mark was like, they got in the boat, the disciples forgot to bring any bread, but watch where this goes. And they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It's because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive nor understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? And they said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? And they said to him, 7. And then Jesus said to them, do you still not understand? Today, right now, on June 2nd, is as good a day as any to begin a new season, especially with last weekend being the, you know, unofficial start of summer. So let's enter a summer of, don't know yet. That's great, Rolf. I love that. There we go. You are an answer to prayers, my friend. That was good. By the way, I'll give you your $5 bill after. That was perfectly timed. No, I like that. I really did. I was like, what are we going to, you know, what could we call this? I like that. What if this is a summer of bread? A summer of spending our time as a congregation being open to possibilities. Really being open to possibilities. God may be setting us up for something that we cannot yet see. And so this summer needs to not just be about bread, but about the eyes to see the bread right before our very eyes. And with great joy, I know that sometimes you live long enough, and you live your life, especially as a Christian, long enough, there are times where you are going to be doing your faith from a place of frustration. And there are times when you are going to be doing your faith from a place of joy. If you're doing your faith from a place of frustration, give it time. And don't miss the work of God right before our eyes, because it's there all the time. When I worked on my project thesis for school 20 years ago, I studied the role specifically that the sermon plays in worship. You know, what are we open to during worship? What are we listening for? You know, and if we're not careful, sometimes the sermon or worship or even the things that we listen to about our faith, they kind of go into lowest common denominator mode where, well, I liked it or I didn't like it. You know, and so the work that I tried to do, and I think I'm still trying to grapple with, is how do we come together as a church during a worship service on Sunday morning and say, we together as a congregation are going to be open to the Spirit of God, listening for the Spirit of God, and how God is going to shape us, even at this moment, in the image and likeness of Christ. It's time for us to pray again. It's time for us to dream again, and we need to do it together. We have a core group of people in this place who in the past have expanded time and time again, who have experienced time and time again, a group of people who find Jesus together. But ultimately, this is the work of God. So let's enter into a summer of prayer, a summer of dreaming, a summer of bread, and leave room for the Spirit of God to work. And don't forget, let's not forget about those times when Jesus took just a little bit and made it into a whole lot. Amen.